and welcome. It's our number one. Our number one of our radio program. We start out this week where we left off last week, a conversation about the presumptive number one pick by Jacksonville, Trevor Lawrence, who attempted damage control over the weekend because of comments he made to Sports Illustrated. Does the clarification work for you? Doesn't for me. I will explain why. That and more. It's coming your way right now in hour number one. Put the genie back in the bottle. I don't think you can do that. I don't think that's how that works. Welcome in the beginning of another edition and week of the Ben Maller Show. We are in the air everywhere as we treat insomnia coast to coast, border to border, and beyond on the vast and powerful microphones of FSR emanating live from the flight deck as we soar on the red eye all night long here, the Fox Sports Radio studios. Hope all is well with you, and we are back at it again. The weekend is now officially over. And I have a love-hate relationship with this because we start our week before most people, but we do end our week before most people. So I like that part of it. I do like that part of it. And our lead this hour, there's a lot of ways I could have gone. I could have done Dodger propaganda, but I'm going to be professional. You guys give me a hard time. You bust my balls. You spend too much time talking about the Dodgers. I'm not going to do that. I am fascinated by football. I also have often pointed out here the reason the lights are on in the Fox Sports Radio compound is because of the NFL, right? That's what keeps the power turning here at the company. But our lead this hour coming from the NFL draft specifically, as we have made it through another weekend, and we are now 10 days away from the NFL draft. Specifically, though, a follow-up to a story that we ended last week talking about. We were on the pulse of the people on our Friday extravaganza. We ranted and raved. If you heard the Friday show about Trevor Lawrence, I think we started the show with that. Trevor Lawrence and some comments he made about motivation or lack thereof motivation for football. Now, Lawrence, talking to Sports Illustrated, that's apparently still a thing, and in this article that was recently written, then he said he didn't need football to lead a fulfilled life. And the people around him, people in his circle, family, high school coach, adding on that he's never defined himself, Lawrence, through wins and losses, titles or awards or any of that stuff. And Lawrence himself said in the article that it's not like I need this for my life to be okay. All right. So this led to immediate backlash from blowhards like yours truly and others actually in the football establishment. It's one of these public-private things, like publicly, we support Trevor Lawrence. Privately, there's a lot of people like, whoa, wait a minute, give a little side eye to Trevor Lawrence. Now, Lawrence attempted over the weekend to clarify things on social media. I'm not sure if you saw this or not. Maybe you actually have a life and you were out doing things and spending time with your loved ones and going out living your life. So you might have missed it. So Trevor Lawrence said people are, quote, misreading his quotes. He claimed that he is, quote, internally motivated. And he also went on to say he loves football as much or more than anyone. Put that in your pipe and smoke. Says it's a huge priority in his life. Lawrence went on to say he is driven to be the best he can be. Sounds like the old military slogan, right? Be the best you can be. Join the U.S. Army. Anyway, and work ethic and all that. And loves to grind and chase his goals. I mean, he really laid it on thick. Really laid it on thick. Now, he didn't go all the way thick because he also said, right, he essentially said that he is secure in who he is and what he believes and doesn't need football to make him feel worthy as a person. He purely loves the game and everything that comes with it. Well, nobody loves everything about anything, so let's put the brakes on that right there. Let us discuss the question. I gave you the meat and potatoes of Trevor Lawrence's apology. does this Trevor Lawrence apology work for you? And I'm shaking my head no. I'm shaking my head no. I always go with the initial comment, not the apology, whether it's a politician or an athlete. I always go by the initial statement. Now, my thoughts on this. You've got Madison Avenue, Centerpiece, and Lou Holtz. And we will combine all of these things together into an adequate Maller monologue. Now, A, the typical fanboy meathead, who are they blaming for this controversy? Yours truly, right? They're blaming the media. Oh, you blowhards in the media and your hot takes. Well, this was some kind of attack piece on Trevor Lawrence. Please stop. Stop your pearl clutching. Trevor Lawrence's response tells you all you need to know, okay? He screwed up. He said the thing you shouldn't say at the time you shouldn't say it. The quotes to Sports Illustrated were not taken out of context. He said it. Trevor Lawrence acknowledged that he articulated the things that have created the angst in the football world, that created the wildfire, if you will. Now, Trevor was upset not by what he had said. He was upset by the way that those comments were perceived. Do you understand the difference? Now, my theory on this is simple. Trevor Lawrence absolutely murmured those things. He said so. But now he needs to unring the bell. It's like when you go to hit a doorbell, you can't unring the door, but you can run away and play ding, you know, doorbell ditch and run away. But why does Trevor Lawrence have to unring the bell? This played poorly on Madison Avenue, right? You want to get as many endorsement deals as you possibly can. You have to maximize your time in the spotlight as the number one pick, as the golden boy. And Trevor Lawrence is already behind the eight ball, having been tagged for employment in Jacksonville. Now, from what I hear, Jacksonville's a fine place to live, but professional football-wise, it might as well be in Siberia. On the football map, it does not exist. Now, part B of this, Trevor Lawrence should get his sea legs underneath him as far as on the field in the NFL, and we've been on the record as saying we love the combo of Trevor Lawrence and Urban Meyer. Wins and losses, wins and losses. That's what really matters here, and to me, that's not an issue. Like, he's going to be the number one pick, Trevor Lawrence, unless he gets arrested. Unless he gets arrested between now and the NFL draft for a felony. And even then, he still might be picked number one. But Urban Meyer took the Jags' job. He got that gig for one purpose, and one purpose only, because Urban Meyer believes that Trevor Lawrence is going to lead him to the promised land. Meyer could have had any college job he wanted for ridiculous amounts of money, but he chose to go to the NFL. A, it's a better gig as a coach to be in the NFL coach than a college coach. Money, all being equal, because you can make a ton of money in college as well as the NFL. But Meyer, if you look at his situation here, he said, that's my centerpiece. I need a centerpiece. Desire be damned, right? But the naked truth is, a lot of people, as far as the desire thing, and I experience this even in my business. I work in radio. Radio's a good job. There's a lot of crap in radio. You don't get paid a lot of money. The hours usually suck. You got to work on holidays, things like that. But no job is perfect. But I've worked with people who don't love radio, and it doesn't mean they're not necessarily good at it. Like, usually, you know, not to stereotype, but I've had athletes I've worked with who, you know, weren't really into it, but they could make a good amount of money on the radio. And since they liked the money part of it, they're like, you know, I wasn't really into it, but the money's good. So, and they weren't terrible. They weren't terrible. Now, I do think, generally speaking, that if you like something, you're generally better at it. You produce more. Right, like, you might hate your job right now. You're still producing. You would likely produce more at your job if you liked it a little more. But that being said, football has been one of those gigs where passion, a passion for pigskin, matters, right? You can't fake it till you make it in the NFL. At least that's always been what we've been told, the company line there. You have to be authentic. That the fakes and the frauds are exposed and they crumble right away. And Trevor Lawrence, As far as having a chip on his shoulder, to be fair, why would Trevor Lawrence have a chip on his shoulder? The chip on the shoulder crowd is the crowd that was forgotten, that was looked down upon. Trevor Lawrence has been tagged for greatness since high school. It's not like he didn't get any scholarship offers going to college. It's not like he went to some state university somewhere, some directional school that has no football pedigree. Right? And there's not a lot of potholes and landmines on the road to stardom for Trevor Lawrence. All right, last word. So the reason for anxiety in Jacksonville is the micro versus the macro. But in this case, the macro. Because in the micro, Trevor Lawrence will find success and will live long and prosper. Prospering on the field, living long, right? But in the macro, it's unlikely that Trevor Lawrence is going to stick around and be in this for the long haul. From the words of Lawrence, his own words, right? The new words that he said. This feels like he'll play a few years. And what's a few years? 5 years, six, 7 years, something like that. But, you know, say 5 years, right? He'll play 5 years, collect that big money, and then go out and live the bohemian life. And I put him more in the category of Andrew Luck or a player that many people have forgotten from a previous generation, Jake Plummer. Guys that left the NFL grind behind that still had fuel left in the tank. And they're like, hey, we'll just park the car. We got the fuel, but we'll park the car. So not exactly TB12 2.0. Tom Brady's going to be 44 years old in August. 44. My God, that's a dinosaur. Next season, and they're going to have to physically tear the Buccaneers or whoever's next for Tom Brady should he leave Tampa down the line. They're going to have to tear the helmet, the jersey, all of that for him to exit stage right. But as Lou Holtz famously said, when after all is said and done, more is said than done, and that is an example of this Trevor Lawrence story here. We look forward to watching Urban Meyer, Urban Meyer.
Urban Meyer! Urban Meyer! Urban Meyer!
Everybody!
Urban
Meyer! And peanut butter and jelly? Is it oil and water? It'll be more peanut butter and jelly. Now, we actually have Jacksonville finishing with a winning record in this upcoming Fugazi 17-game regular season. We believe that they will have more wins than losses. And when you take a look, a little snapshot of the division, you look around, the Texans were bad. Their quarterback is an alleged pervert, so he's likely not going to play until he sorts through the legal matters there, Deshaun Watson. So you Texans are going to be terrible, so they'll be the last place team. The Colts are tangibly worse at quarterback with Carson Wentz. So good luck on that. And the Tennessee Titans, a good team, should win the division. But they still have Ryan Tannehill, which limits. There's like a restrictor plate. It's like a NASCAR with restrictor plates. That's Ryan Tannehill in a nutshell. Slowing down how far they can go. All right, it is the Ben Maller Show. If you would like to join us here, a little cheat code on talk radio. The earliest you get in here, the earlier you get in, the better, because you get in and usually it's a slow buildup here at the beginning of the show. But if you would like to sneak in, 877-99 on Fox, 877-996-6369. Any of the baseball stories, I always say the better story is in the losing locker room. And so we will be ranting later on about the New York Yankees, who are terrible. Absolutely terrible. You know who's not terrible? You know who doesn't suck? The Dodgers, who just took two out of three. And the Padres are lucky. Two out of three in San Diego. And the Padres are lucky they got that last game. Some shoddy Dodger baseball there on a Sunday. That's a giveaway. If the Dodgers don't give away a game, the Dodgers end up sweeping the Padres. What happened, San Diego? I thought the Padres were this fryer wrecking crew of a team. My God. Jeez. Anyway, all right, 877-99 on Fox, 877-996-6369. You can join the festivities here. Also available on Twitter, at Ben Maller. That's at Ben Maller. You can join the fun. So coming up a little bit later in the hour, Imagine cashing in from the grave. Well, the NFT craze continuing. From the other side, you can still make money on this non-fungible token. We'll get to that. And have the 49ers already eliminated one of the quarterbacks they were considering with the number 3 pick in the upcoming NFL draft? The latest scuttlebutt from the draft world where every rumor is credible unless it's not. We'll get to that, and we will do it next. He's got the cleanest ass.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Listen up, Maller Militia. The Ben Maller Show is the show of the people, by the people, for the people. Join the movement and follow your host on Twitter. He's at Ben Maller. And you can tweet at and follow me, Eddie Garcia, your humble sidekick, the voice of reason. I'm at Eddie on Fox. Haunting impression of a peacock. I'm not kidding. And now live from the Fox Sports Radio studios, it's Ben Maller.
So we began the night yapping about Trevor Lawrence, but there's other news out there. The 49ers, have they eliminated one quarterback from their wish list for the 2021 draft? Also, the NFT from the grave for someone from sports. I must address here now, Milkman Ryan sent this over the weekend. We love all our Fox Sports Radio affiliates, and I really would like to thank our friends in Florence, Alabama, from Fox Sports Radio, Fox Sports Shoals, our affiliate there, because they have made me look really good, Eddie, and made me look like I have more money, and I dress a little bit better, and I don't need glasses. And
it was a little startling when I clicked on that.
I was a little taken aback myself there. Milkman Ryan, eagle-eyed Milkman Ryan, P1, and he found on their website. And I looked. I don't see it on there now. I'm on foxsportsshoals.com, and my ugly face is on there right now. But let me click over here and see what's going on. Yeah, I mean, I don't know where he found that. You think he photo? I mean, it looks legit. Maybe they fixed it, but it looks legit. Yeah, for those that can't see and you have no idea what we're talking about, get to the point, please. So according to Milkman Ryan, he claims that he was searching my name somewhere, and the Fox Sports Shoals, our affiliate there in Alabama, one of our affiliates came up, and it had the Ben Maller Show and then the Fox Sports Shoals, and then it had a picture of, I forget, who is that person, Eddie? I forget who that is. It's, the
I don't know,
guy.
But it's not you.
Yeah, I think that guy Cowherd, I think. Yeah. Now, let me explain how this works, okay? That's an error. All right, that's an error. Obviously, somebody in the web department, I don't know who put that together, screwed up. I assume if that's legit, if that's not Photoshopped by Milkman Ryan, we'll, for the purpose of this conversation, we'll assume that's an honest mistake. But if you really want a mistake that will be immediately rectified, could you imagine on Colin Cowherd's page if they had flipped the photo and put my ugly mug on the herd with Colin Cowherd? Uh-oh. Oh, my God. Oh, Eddie, heads would have rolled. You would have had people running over each other. It would have been a trampling situation there, a stampede to correct that situation. So thank you, Milkman Ryan, for supporting the show. Chuck says, after listening to your weekend Fifth Hour podcast, I think you cornered a new market on the hearing impaired. Yes. Oh, Eddie, I got a great story for you. This is wonderful. You want to hear a good story?
Of course.
So I record the podcast on Thursday for the weekend. Gagon's almost never here. The guy's got the worst work ethic I know. He always takes weekends off. He's always got something more important. So there's a parade of people that come in to fill in for Gagon. And I don't know, usually to like the day of, who's going to be filling in.
David Gaffigan.
Which is fine. I'm flexible. I can work with people. I don't really mind it. But the one thing I demand, Eddie, is what's the point of doing this if you can't understand what we're saying, right? The audio, it has to sound good. Otherwise, what's the point, you know?
That's so anyway, literally all that matters.
Exactly. So, and I will not name the person who is guilty here. I will not do that, Eddie, because that would be wrong. But who? Early on in the podcast, I was interviewing Mel Proctor, who used to be a play-by-play guy for the Baltimore Orioles in the back in the day, and has worked for a number of teams. And I like talking to you know, old-school broadcasters and hearing their stories. So early on, I'm recording the podcast, and I'm like, it doesn't sound right in my headphones. It sounds like there's an overmodulation situation. So I immediately shoot a message off to the person who was putting the podcast together. I said, listen, we got a little problem here. Make sure it's all good. I can do it over. We can start over. It's a podcast. We're not live on the radio. He says, don't worry. It's perfectly fine. Your levels look good. Sounds good in my headphones. Nothing to worry about. So I continued on. One foot in front of the other. One word in front of the other. I'm doing the podcast. We then do another podcast. Again, sounds like crap. I say, I think there's a problem. No, everything's good. We're all right. Nothing to worry about. So I'm like, okay, we'll keep going. We'll keep doing the podcast. We do a third podcast, right? Same thing. Sounds like crap. I think it's overmodulated. No, nothing to worry about. All good. Nothing to see here. Everything's so wonderful. And oh, the hate I got, Eddie, every single podcast was unlistenable. This entire weekend of podcasting was a complete disaster. But I'm happy to report that's actually on Gascon. That's on his record, not the person who actually screwed up that was in here. And the reason that's on Gascon, much like in the NBA, remember when Steve Kerr hurt his back and Luke Walton won all those games, but he didn't get credited with the wins? They went to Steve Kerr. That's how this works. So I blame Gagon for the podcasting follies over the weekend. But there are a few things that you really appreciate more than spending hours recording podcasts, preparing and getting podcasts ready, and then finding out from listeners they couldn't understand a damn thing that was said during the podcast. So,
yeah, that's not good. Sorry to hear that.
Yeah. So when you're recording the podcast, Eddie, have you ever had that problem where it's overmodulated for the entire time and nobody fixes it?
Believe it or not, no.
No, you've never had that happen.
No.
All right.
The only thing I've had happen, it only happened once, was right before we were getting ready to record. Like, I have a script I save and with all the show notes and topics and everything on a file. And one time, I disappeared. Couldn't find it.
It's unfortunate.
Yeah, I'd do it all over again.
Reminds me of the time I was at a Dodger-Mets game in the press box, and one of the Met beat writers, it was on deadline for a newspaper in New York, and he, instead of clicking send, he clicked delete, whole thing. And all the other beat writers were laughing at him.
Yeah, I might have to go for a walk after that. Cool off and then come back and start chopping wood. Nothing to do but just start over again.
Yeah.
Put your head down, start typing.
Well, you can start from scratch. You just start from scratch.
That's still all in your head, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's all there. Well, listen, I put bullet points together, but I usually just, it's all somewhere in there. You just got to find it. There's a lot of stuff in there, though. The older we get, Eddie, the more stuff that's in the head there. It's crazy.
That happened to me back in high school, like when I was writing a paper. Yeah.
Oh, it's the worst.
Sucks, man.
Except I didn't just go back to chopping wood. I was like, F it, I'm not turning it in.
Good attitude.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Good attitude.
Lesson learned. Just quit when things get tough.
Yeah. I just want to point out before the 7,000th person sends me a message complaining about the podcast, I was aware there was a problem right away. Again, I was aware. Not that we fixed the problem, Eddie, but I was aware that there was a problem. All right. Meanwhile, we are 10 days away from the NFL draft. The 49ers made the big splash. They traded up to get the number 3 overall pick. And the assumption was they're going to draft a quarterback. Well, according to one NFL insider, it is not going to be Justin Fields. In fact, Mike Lombardi, who used to be buddy-buddy with Belichick, I guess he's still buddy-buddy with Belichick. Some have accused Mike Lombardi of being a Belichick mouthpiece. But he is a commentator, pops up on many radio shows. And he said that the Niners are not going to take Justin Fields. He is not going to go number 3. So if you believe Mike Lombardi, that's what he's hearing. There, he says, it's not going to happen. Say that the choice is going to be Mac Jones or Trey Lance. Boy, if they draft Mac Jones, that, oh my God. I'd rather draft Mac and Cheese than Mac Jones at number 3. Okay?
I'm just, Mac and Cheese, solid.
Solid choice, right? You loved it when you were a kid. It's good as an adult. Come on. There's not – sometimes – now, I still have the palate of a child. I admit that.
Oh, yeah.
I do. But a lot of people don't like the chicken fingers anymore. They grow up. They like other – but I love all the staples of childhood. And but a lot of people don't. But mac and cheese is one of those dishes. Even as an adult, you'll still eat the mac. And it's cheap, too. It's relatively cheap, right?
Oh, yeah.
Value added with the mac and cheese. Looking back when I was a kid and realizing how much food costs as an adult, I'm pretty sure my parents, when they were putting – I had the Marcel in Brooklyn food plan, pretty much. A lot of mac and cheese, a lot of spaghetti, a lot of a lot of that growing up.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it. I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, Ben, you started off the show with a Trevor Lawrence monologue. It was a little bit of Trevor Lawrence news coming out of the weekend. As you had mentioned, I believe last week, that fans had pulled some money together, apparently, to buy Trevor
Lawrence the high-end toaster. We did hot toaster talk last week.
As a wedding gift for him. Well, in return, Trevor Lawrence is showing his appreciation. He announced that he and his wife, Marissa, will be donating $20,000 to various charities in the Jacksonville area in response to the generosity of the Jaguars.
Now, the cynical part of me, Eddie, says, well, that's good for his taxes.
Well, it could be a win-win for both, right?
Yeah. No, that's what I mean. He gets the deduction. He's going to make a lot of money. He's about to be very wealthy here.
Yeah.
He was making money at Clemson under the table, allegedly, but now it's all above board.
Yes, it is.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, it is the Ben Maller Show as we press on here, bloviating the overnight hours away. And remember Ted Williams? You probably don't remember Ted Williams. He's been dead for 19 years, but he was a legend of the game of baseball, the last guy to bat 400. And now Ted Williams' family has decided, you know what? Let's get some of that dumb money. I'd like some of that dumb money. And so the daughter of Ted Williams has authorized the auction of not one, not two, not three, not four, not five, not six, not seven, not eight. How about nine digital trading cards that honor the Red Sox legend from a different era, nine being Ted Williams' number, and Claudia Williams is the daughter's name. And she says she reached out to a Brazilian illustrator about creating the design of the non-fungible token. And the digital cards will be numbered 1 to 9, and they can be yours if you have a ton of money. No word yet on how much those are going to go for. The last card will be a one-of-a-kind, and its sale will include an autographed bat, autographed picture, and opportunity to stay at a house in Vermont where Ted Williams lived back in the day. So every single day I get emails from these NFT people that this sold for that much and this sold for, oh my God, it's insane. And rather than mock it, I should try to get in on it is what I should be doing. I should try to get in on the action. Bad job by me not getting in on that. The burner account writes in and says, hey, Ben, you took the words right out of my mouth. His agent definitely got in his ear, Trevor Lawrence's agent, to let him know how bad he screwed up. He said, what are you doing, dummy? You got to get in the door first before you close it, right? Bad job by him. So he says, all right. To the phones we go, and let's say hello, eeny, meeny, miny, mo. Let's say hello to Dodger Mike in the Valley of the Sun. What's going on, Dodger Mike?
Hey, Ben, what's going on? How's everything?
If I was any better, I'd be a Padre, but not a San Diego Padre, because they lost 2 out of 3 to the Big Blue Wrecking Crew.
Oh, my gosh. Just once again showing that they're just little brothers.
And I'm impressed. Let me tell you, the Dodger fan, it's hard to get in there because limited attendance. But it, I heard some Dodger chants watching those games over the weekend that they outnumbered the Padre fans. There were a lot of Dodger fans at those games in San Diego.
Yeah, and you can see those guys with their brand-new Tatis jerseys. Guys, like, where have the Padres fans been at? Like, oh, they're horrible.
Well, in fairness, if you know, there's really no reason for many years to support the Padres, so why would you brag about being a Padre fan?
That's true.
When the Dodgers were mediocre, we weren't bragging about being Dodger fans, were we?
I still wore my hat.
Well, yeah, I see Padre hats, but you wouldn't wear a Padre jersey. But that is a smart investment. Like, if you're a fan. Like, I don't like these 10-year, 12-year, 13-year contracts, but as a fan, I mean, you get a Tatis jersey if you're a Padre fan. You get the Mookie Betts jersey if you're a Dodger fan. You get the Mike Trout jersey if you're an Angel fan. These guys are locked up for life, essentially.
That is true. That is true. And I just can't wait till we beat the Padres again. I mean, I lost interest in the game today because it was Sunday afternoon, and they lost interest, too. That's why we lost. But other than that, they're going to be done this year. I can't wait to. You know what? It would be nice to see them in the NLCS just for fun. But, yeah.
All right. Well, they are. Listen, they are. If you look on paper or on a depth chart on your phone, the Padres are the second best team in the National League. And even likely the second best team in all of baseball. When you think about the early part of the season and who is in the Padres' record's not particularly great. But talent-wise, they're the second most talented. All right, we'll leave it there. Thank you, Dodger Mike, taking some shots at the Padres and their lovable fans. All right, straight ahead. Big Apple bound. We'll get to that. We've got the NBA. Are we doing NBA? Maybe we'll do baseball. What should we do here? Let's see. Eeny, meeny, miny, moe.
Baseball. These basketball players don't play anymore, man.
All right, I know. All right, we'll do baseball. Do the MLB pick 'em. Here's the Who Am I game. We'll do football for this because we love football. I am the only player in NFL history who has 1,700-plus tackles, 20-plus sacks, 15-plus interceptions, and 15-plus forced fumbles in my first 13 seasons. Again, there's a lot of numbers there, but just listen closely. I'm the only player in NFL history who has 1,700 or more tackles, 20-plus sacks, 15-plus interceptions, 15-plus forced fumbles in my first 13 seasons. Who am I? The answer. And the MLB Pick'em next.
I can't think of his name. Pitched a no-hitter. It was great.
Yeah, it was Justin Bieber, right?
Yeah, Justin Bieber. He's really...
From the first moment you tune in, you know the Ben Maller Show's not your garden variety sports talk. We welcome all the freaks of nature to the Maller Militia. Facebook's an online amusement park for all of us. You can chat with other super fans of the show. It's simple and it's free. Help support our show by liking our page. Go to facebook.com/Ben Maller Show. And now live from the Fox Sports Radio studios, it's Ben Maller.
MLB Pick'em is short time away, but... Time now for the Who Am I game. I am the only player in NFL history who has 1,700-plus tackles, 20-plus sacks, 15-plus interceptions, and 15-plus forced fumbles in my first 13 seasons. Who am I? That is the question. What is the answer? And a lot of answers going in. Matt, the Warrior Raider A's fan, going with Ray Lewis. Interesting photo you found of Ray. People have been looking for that for a while. Ed from Spokane is carpet bombing me. He says Justin Bieber is the answer. Sly says Tito Santana of WWF fame. Ron Wolfley from Rickster from the Bus. That's his answer. Tiger Lily in Michigan says J.J. Watt is the way to go. Dick Butkus from Wally in Florida. Junior Seau tossed out by Day Games. Terry in England says, is it fake news is NFT? Is that the answer? Who else do we have here? Page down. Mark Carrier. There's a good name from Big Lou in the LBC. Jimbo Joint Roller tossed out by Stoner Marvin. Brad's going with Brian Urlacher as his answer. Keith Traylor, good name by Chris, the Bears fan in Des Moines. Ronnie Lott from Jason in Denver. Beetlejuice, tossed out by the Notorious B as his answer. Dick in Dayton's friend Dave, guessed by Chip in the Q's. Mr. Nice Guy. That's right. Kettering Banjo Society. Mr. Nice Guy going with Pete Rose. Good photo there of Pete. Looks pretty good for his age. Who else do we have? Brutus the Barber Beefcake from Rob in Vegas. Vontez Perfect, tossed out by Just Josh in Cincinnati. Eddie, do you have an answer, Eddie?
Yeah, let's go with Pittsburgh Steeler Troy Polamalu.
Troy Polamalu. Is it Troy Polamalu? No. Again, I'm the only player in NFL history to have 1,700 or more tackles, 20 or more sacks, 15 or more interceptions, 15 or more forced fumbles in my first 13 seasons. The answer, Zach Thomas, old Miami Dolphin. Zach Thomas, he only played 13 seasons in the NFL. Some impressive numbers, but Zach Thomas not in the Hall of Fame. Not in the Hall of Fame. Hall of very good, but not in the Hall of Fame. Because not everyone can be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Otherwise, it's not really a Hall of Fame. Everyone's invited. You see the problem with that. All right, we'll bump back that NBA story, but there is an interesting player, one of the better-known players in the NBA, who is jonesing to play at the Mecca, Madison Square Garden, but we'll talk more about that as we go through the overnight, and that leads us into right now, that's right, strike up the band. It's the MLB Pick'em. Twip notes, the Blue Jays flying high, unless they're not. I've been guilty of watching. I haven't watched This Week in Baseball in a few weeks. I got to get back on that YouTube and watch some classic episodes with Mel Allen breaking it all down. But time now for the MLB Pick'em. We will do our daily fantasy game. Every day we either do basketball, baseball, obviously football during football season, hockey, one day a week to pacify Eddie. But, Koopaloop, you're going to go first on this edition. Two position players and a pitcher is who we are selecting on the MLB pick.
That is correct, and with my first pick, I will go with Lucas Giolito.
Interesting pick. I don't know, he's a little tendency, a little problem with his arm there. I don't know if that's a great pick. Yeah,
no, he's been
little twinge. Little, I heard a twinge. All right, Team Maller is next. Give me Dustin May of the Dodge.
Dodger homer.
Eddie.
Let's go with J.D. Martinez of the Red Stockings.
All right. Roberto last. Hurry up, Roberto.
Give me Mike Trout.
Mike Trout. One more.
Give me Brandon Woodruff.
All right, Brandon Woodruff. Back to you, Eddie.
I don't know who this is, but he's 2-0 and he has an ERA below 1. So let's go with the Royals' Dan Duffy.
All right. I will take Xander Bogaerts of the Sox. Go ahead, Coop. Hurry up.
Go with Shohei Ohtani.
All right.
And Whit Merrifield.
All right. Jake Cronsworth of the Padres. Hurry up, Eddie.
Justin Turner.
Roberto.
Mookie Betts.
Mookie Betts. He's not going to play.